I didn't know about this at all. Have you ever heard of what is called Good Riddance Day? Has anybody ever heard that phrase? Good Riddance Day. Well, some of you would find it just quite pleasing to know that it is something that originated in New York City. And when I said this to a couple of people, they said, yeah, that's entirely appropriate. That's what we ought to say to New York City, is good riddance. But that isn't what it is about. It is it's a thing that started in 2009. And they have a thing in New York City. It's part of the Downtown Alliance in Manhattan, where it originated. And it is done on the 28th of December each year. And that's called, in New York City, it's called Good Riddance Day. And it happened this past Thursday. You could have read a little bit about it if you wanted to, if you knew anything at all about it. But it's where the organizers of this day encourage people to come down to Times Square, which is getting ready for the big ball dropping tonight and so forth. And you get to bring stuff. Get to bring stuff that represents all of the bad from your last year. It could be pictures of how they promote it. You can bring down pictures of your exes, you know, down there. You can bring old letters. You can bring old documents. You can bring pictures. You can bring mementos. Anything at all that reminds you of the bad of your last year. And they bring down a bunch of these massive shredders, and you can throw it in and watch your 2017 be shredded away on Good Riddance Day. And on top of everything else, if you have even more angst that you need to get rid of, they have rows of sledgehammers that you can beat the thing to a pulp before you put it in the shredder. Now, when it started, and this is just a side note, before it started in back in 2009, it was just it's kind of a grassroots kind of thing. Now it has corporate sponsorship by the organization called Shred It. Have you ever heard of Shred It? Yeah, they've gotten involved, and they bring everything down there, and they promote, and it's, I don't know, it's just some big deal. But it's the idea behind it is to let go of painful memories and bad experiences and foolish mistakes and dumb choices and all of that stuff that sort of represents our world in the last year. Made me think about today. I like being able to preach, or certainly I like being able to talk with people when it gets down to the end of a particular year. There's something about it. Now, you can sit there and go, there is no difference with the last Sunday of the year than there is the first Sunday of the year or the one in between. But I think most people have a sense of, the word is hopefully perspective when it comes to the end of any given year. Now, I don't know if you are a person who has good perspective or no perspective. You'll have to decide whether that is true for you or not. Perspective is this idea that we are able to see things as they really are. That's a healthy perspective. Maybe another way of looking at perspective is that we're able to see the whole and not just part. Perspective is seeing things in relationship to the things around them, things relative to one another. I always found that a picture that I tried to paint for my boys as they grew up, perspective was a word that we used around our house a lot. You know, you got to have the biggest, widest perspective possible to be able to face what you go through. I remember the And you may remember this in your life, the first time that you climbed to the top of some massive skyscraper. I don't know if any of you have ever climbed to the top of the Empire State Building or the some other large building. I remember the first time that I climbed to the top of, it was the first time that I went to Mexico City on a conference down there that I was part of. And in the middle of Mexico City, there is this huge skyscraper with a deck out on the outside of it. And honestly, I think I had more faith back then than I do now. I don't think I would get out on that thing again. Because once I got out on it, it was like really scary to me. Like, didn't they have an earthquake down here? And but you get up on it, and it's such a fascinating thing because I don't know if you know this about Mexico City, but Mexico City proper sits in the middle of a volcano. It's in the opening of a volcano, and so it sits in that bowl. Well, part of Mexico City sitting in that bowl is that if you get up high enough, you can't see Mexico City because of the smog. And that was the view of the day. We got all the way up there and went, huh, I wonder where it went. Because you couldn't see it at all. But it gave perspective because we saw something bigger than what it was from the vantage point that I had. So, today, how are you viewing the things that happened in your last year? How are you looking at them? You know, there have been some really big things that happened in 2017. How do you view the tragedies of, the shooting that happened in Las Vegas? Do you still think about that anymore? Does that ever kind of float past your mind about what happened there? How could that have ever taken place? And what actually happened? My goodness. What about, there were a lot of natural disasters this year, but I'm kind of drawn in particular to, Hurricane Harvey. You know, are we past that now? It didn't affect us here too much unless you had some family members that were involved in it. But my goodness, it was a tragedy. And Hurricane Irma, over on the other coast. What about the church shooting down in Sutherland Springs? Do any of you have a second thought when you walk into our church building on any given Sunday morning now that you didn't have before that? I don't know. I don't. I'll be honest. I don't think about that. But I know there are people who do. The most recent stuff, the people who have lost so much in the California wildfires. And I've been around people here, conversation I've had, and people have said, well, if they're stupid enough to live there, that's been the response. Well, you know what? I've got friends of mine that live there, and I don't look at them that way. I've also got some dear friends of mine who are firefighters in Southern California who have been giving their, every ounce of their energy to fighting fires for, gosh, what seems like weeks and weeks and weeks have turned into months, and people have lost so much. How do you categorize that kind of stuff in your own heart? Do you think about it? Do you process it, or do you have a file for it inside where you go, well, it's not my life, so I kind of put it over here and I go on about my life and I don't think about it anymore. Well, that's all well and good, but the truth is that we are all people in this room who have experienced things that are much closer to home. Whether it's death or the loss of job or illness or failures or simply disappointments, things that we wanted that didn't actually happen. When you face those things, are you the kind of person that have you learned the art of how I would call it? Have you learned the art of gutting it out You know, when tough things happen, do you just gut it out? Are you a prayer warrior? Do you fall to your knees when you see things happen like that? Do you hope for the best? Are you an optimist? Are you a glass half empty person? When things start to circle the drain, do you go, that's the way it always is? You know? So you look at 2017 and you look forward to another year. Hopefully we're all here a year from now. But I can tell you what every one of us need. And it's not going to sound particularly spiritual yet. I hope it will maybe by the end. But we need perspective. We all do. There are three of us in this room that I know of. There may be somebody else in this room that I don't know of. But there are three people in this room that have stood together. We were all three together on top of Mount Whitney. 14,505 feet. Raise your hand if you stood on top of Mount Whitney. Did you? Larry, Wanda, and me. Beth should have, but she didn't go with us. Okay. Larry wasn't with Wanda and I when we did that. 14,505 feet. It is the highest peak in the continental United States, or the contiguous 48 states. You can get up into Alaska, and there's some taller ones up there. Mount Whitney, it's in California. It's part of the High Sierra Mountain Range. And I remember the day that I stood up there with a bunch of high school kids. We climbed to the top of it as part of an 8 or 10 day trip that we were on. And we stood up there. There's you get up to the very top of it. The last mile, 2 miles, is always through snow, even during the hottest part of the summer, because it never melts off up there. And you climb up switchbacks, and it's, by the time you get to the top, you're using your hands and knees to try to get up there. And when you get up to the top, there's a little stone cabin that was erected back in the 30s or 40s, and you can go sign in that said you made it and all that kind of stuff. It's breathtaking. It is breathtaking to be at the top of something that high and to be able to see what felt like forever in all directions. It is amazing. Wouldn't you like to be able to see your life from that vantage point? You see, that is perspective. The word perspective does not appear in the Bible, at least not in all the times that I have read through my Bible. But the concept is everywhere. And I can tell you, in my lifetime, there have been absolute seasons of confusion. Times in my own life where no matter how much I turned to God's Word, or no matter how much I prayed about things, and no matter how much I spent talking with other people, I still felt myself needing more answers, walking away confused. But in spite of that, I guess I am always reminded of this one truth that I would like to encourage you with today. And that is, I believe by faith in the existence of the Creator, God of the universe, who personally interacts in my life. I believe in that God because there is always more than I can see. That is one of the things that drives me back to God. I know there is more. And the higher up I get, the greater my perspective is, the more I am overwhelmed by the existence of God. Because I'm able to see things that I can't see from ground level. The virtue of perspective is the ability or the willingness or the courage or even the determination to see the biggest picture possible. And because there is more, always more to life than this moment, there's a before and there's an after. There's always a before and an after to this moment. Perspective is what allows me to live fully in my moment. It allows me to invest in now. It allows me to face now without being overwhelmed by now. I hope that makes sense. There's a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. It's one of the Proverbs, and Proverbs are these little bite-sized nuggets that I'm not sure that when they were written, most of them by King Solomon, that he thought that we were going to take and slice and dice them in 2017 and look at all of the intricacies and, you know, of what he said. This is one of those that I just kind of take as a blunt statement. It's Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The word strong here gives the picture of, and what the author, I think what King Solomon is alluding to, is not just a strong tower, but it's the mighty fortress tower that sits up above the incoming enemy, where you would put watchmen that would stand on top of the tower and look down and be able to see what was happening. A strong tower rises above the ground to give perspective and a view. Is God your tower? This is one of the greatest names of God in all of the Scriptures, is that He is our strong tower. God is my position of perspective. He is the tower. It is from His side that I can view earth and people and situations. It is the place of safety that is above the riffraff of life when I am in that tower. It is where my life and my problems and my goals, it's where they all look different because the perspective is totally different. It's where they can look right again. I tried to find this week, and I couldn't, partly because my whole life is a mess, and trying to locate certain things in a messy life is pretty difficult sometimes. But I had, for years and years and years, I made a sign. I hand drew it, and I used to do that, and it hung on my wall for years. And all it said was, in quotation marks, "Is God worried? Is God worried?" And I wrote it that way because just the mere thought of God being worried is so ludicrous. It's laughable. How could God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds every life in His hands, the sovereign Lord of creation, how could He be worried about anything? And yet we are these creatures that hop out of the strong tower and start running around on the ground and losing perspective, when it is in fact our place to be in the safety of the tower, where we can see things properly. Paul wrote in Ephesians, beginning of Ephesians, these words. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Remember when I was a young follower of Christ, the only way I understood that line was that I suppose eventually, because of my early teaching of what heaven was going to be like, there was going to be this moment in my life where I was going to get to live in the clouds. And somewhere up above the clouds, there was going to be, the great thrones that God and Jesus would be sitting on. This is my perspective. And that there would be a little stool there for me. You know, where I could snuggle up alongside the Sovereign Lord, and I would have my spot in the heavenlies after I died. You know, that was kind of my reward. That was where I got to go. Well, I'll just say this. My view of the afterlife and heaven and so forth is a little more nuanced than now than it was then. And one of the reasons why it's a little more nuanced now is that this statement, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenlies, that is a present tense statement. That is not something that is due to happen someday after you die. That is the present case for each one of us now who are followers of Jesus. We are, in fact, seated with Him in the heavenlies right now. Sounds a whole lot like a tower, doesn't it? Rather than being in this spot where I'm here and I can't see clearly what's going on around me because there is so much. To sit with Christ in the heavenlies is not a future happening. It's a present tense action. And from this high vantage point, spiritually speaking, everything looks different when I am seated there next to the King. Come on, use your imagination just a little bit. Go back to when you were a kid. Go back to when you were a kid and they were picking on you at school, or they were taking advantage of you somewhere, and then all of a sudden your mom or your dad showed up on the scene. And you snuggled up next to your mom and dad. Hey, perspective changed, didn't it? All of a sudden, you got a lot stronger and a lot more bold because you were with your dad or you were with your mom, and they could kick that other anytime they wanted to because they were your mom and your dad. You see? Pardon my a lack of sacredness when I look at it this way, but that's how I see it. When I am snuggled up to the King in the heavenlies, things look a lot different down there. Everything looks different down there. My worries, my enemies, my fears, my obstacles that hold me back, my limitations, whatever, they all look different from the vantage point of the heavenlies. Ground level? When we live at ground level, when I live at ground level, I'm not even going to indict you right now. When I live at ground level, I am David's brother. Okay, some of you will remember this story. Remember David and Goliath? Remember the brothers? When Goliath came out and the brothers went, "We're not fighting him." From ground level, I am David's brothers who see Goliath's. That's what you do when you're on the ground, ground level. No hope. Insurmountable. From a high tower, I'm David. I'm not his brother anymore. From a high tower, from a seat in the heavenlies, I'm full on David. I see Goliath as something manageable. Goliath. Look at this armor I have on. Yeah, it kind of drags down around my knees, but Goliath, nothing. Nothing. Perspective. Do you get it? It's perspective. From God's perspective, or maybe just saying it this way, from God's eyes, from God's vantage point, I see people that I love. It's my everyday. Frankly, it's your everyday. From God's perspective, I see people I love. But I also see people that hurt me and reject me. My eyes are clear. I can distinguish the difference between the two. From God's perspective, from His eye level vantage point, I can see people who misunderstand me. I can see people who judge me. I can also see those people I don't understand. But from the tower, from the seat in the heavenlies, I can see them all differently. Instead of seeing what they do to me, I can see clearly their hurts, their fears, their loneliness. I can see what's behind it all. One of my illustrations that I thought a lot of, you get to the end of the year, I've thought a lot about my kids this last week, grandkids. I think some of this happens when you get a little older and you get philosophical and whatnot. But I remembered a lot of things this week as I was preparing. One of the things that I said, it was somewhat a metaphor, somewhat just a story. But I would say this to my kids, because we always talked a lot about how do you manage your anger. I always thought that was an important issue. And the picture that I would paint for them, because I could say, hey, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that look in their face that always looked back at me and said, yeah, right. Okay, you know that look? Okay, and so I always felt it my obligation to give them something deeper or something better that they could hold on to, a picture. And so one of the pictures that I painted for them regularly was, guys, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine just walking along, and all of a sudden you feel something just crash into your Achilles tendon right from behind. Something just smashes into it as you're walking. Imagine the pain that's involved. Have you all had that happen before? Just kind of crashes right into the back of your legs, the lower part of it. Right down where there's no meat, you know, right there, and it just sends shock waves up the back of your legs and into your head. And okay, picture for a moment your immediate reaction when that happens, when the pain and the shock all meet inside. Okay? There's not a person in this room whose impulse is not to get mad right at that point. That's our nature. When pain hits us in that way. And I would say to my boys, I'd go, now I want you to picture turning around and seeing what hit you in the back of your legs was a young man who lost control of his wheelchair and rolled into the back of your legs. How would your perspective change in that moment? Okay, it's rather dramatic, don't you think? But my point was this, is that there's always more to the story. Always. That's what the position of a strong tower allows you to have. That's what the position of the heavenlies allows you to have, is that moment where you can step back from what you are in and be able to see things with the clarity that God would if He were right there. Is it a perfect science? No, we are never going to be able to have the perfect view that God does. We're not God. But I think Scripture is really clear that we have these wonderful vantage points that we can camp out in if we choose to. We can camp out in the tower. We can be up there next to the one in charge where it's safe and the view is great. We can be seated in the heavenlies, spiritually speaking, but even practically speaking, we can view life from His perspective. It can happen. We have the ability, because of the proximity that we are allowed to be near the Sovereign Lord, we can see beneath the surface and not just on the surface. And when that happens, I can act differently. You know how we say, we look at kids, we look at each other, and we go, hey, your reaction, that was your choice. That is like my favorite parent moment of all time, to look at my kids as they are doing something they shouldn't be doing and go, you chose to do that. Nobody made you do that. Nobody held a gun to your head. You did that one on your own. And they start mustering up, no, it was his fault. It was, you know, I have a bad temper. You would have acted the same way if you would have had my life and all the pressure that I have. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I love those moments. Those are like parent moments that I'd lived for. Because I'd look around and go, nah, not working for me. Your choice. You chose to act that way. You didn't have to. You see, when you reside in the tower, when you snuggle up next to the Creator in your seat in the heavenlies, I can act differently. I can forgive. You go, I can never forgive those people. Sure you can. Depends on how close you are. Depends on what your perspective is. I can act with compassion and understanding. I can love people as I love myself. It's possible. I can actually have patience. I can actually live with grace and kindness in a world that frankly doesn't deserve it most of the time. But I can do that when I'm in the tower, next to the one who gives me perspective to see things the way that He sees them. The same is true for my worries, my frustrations, my fears. Perspective. The view from the high tower. The vantage point from the heavenly realm. It allows me to see things differently. To see things bigger. To see things wiser. To see things calmer. Because I'm going to remind you of this. God isn't worried about it. Not even close. Not even close. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 these words. And he was quoting Isaiah. Isaiah had this question. Is there anyone around who knows the mind of God, of the God? Anyone who knows what He is doing? It was kind of this rhetorical question that Isaiah wrote. That question has been answered. Christ knows. And we have the mind of Christ. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit that we get when we come to God by faith. One of the promises that He has given to each one of us is that we get the mind of Christ. Now, do we get the whole thing? Can we always know what Jesus would do in every single situation? I don't. But you know what? When I walk around with the mind of Christ, when I sit in the tower with the mind of Christ, man, there are some things that become clear again. I can see things better than I ever could before when I'm down on ground level. As his followers, we can have the mind, we can have the perspective of Christ. How do we begin to see things from Christ's perspective? Let me give you a little kick in the tail as you contemplate your goals for 2018, your resolution. Does anybody do resolutions anymore? Those just fail miserably. Okay, but I think there is some goodness to this idea that, hey, we get to start over again. Got a clean slate here. Use it. Let me give you your kick in the pants on this one. How do you get God's perspective? Well, one of the ways that it happens is to be in His Word. To be in the Bible. To do some reading. To do some contemplating. To actually read the words, the things that God says. To read the stories of how God interacts with people. That's one of the easiest ways of gaining perspective of how God does things. How God would act in any given situation. Read about it. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Pray some more. Walk closer. Climb back in the tower. Get up there. Stop wallowing around down on ground level. It's no good. Stop being controlled by circumstances. Be controlled by the mind of Christ. I know it sounds spiritual. It sounds kind of otherworldly. But honestly, it's pretty practical. There's a way to grow in the mind of Christ. Walk closer. Read what He says. Learn from Him. After all, it's your choice.